This is Never Mind Me, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Southern Vampire Mysteries crossover fic, written by Paper Faith and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, contains hints of the pairing Buffy Summers Eric the Northman, and is a sequel to the story Run. You should definitely check that podfic out first, as it will make this one make so much more sense. They've been sitting in the VIP area of Eric's latest club for more than an hour, listening to a vampire named Vincent propose a business deal. Eric is sitting across from the man, one arm along the back of the sofa. Buffy, who has long since become Josie, even in his mind, because her old name is not only dangerous, but also unfitting and disgraceful, is sprawled across the remaining space next to him, more lying than sitting. It irritates their guest, and she knows it, which is why she does it. Apparently, the vampire likes to think of her naked. That, in turn, irritates her. Vincent blathers on, an expression of consternation and concentration on his face, colored by his obvious dislike of being made to include a human in the conversation. Eric wonders how one so stupid survived so long, and decides to put an end to this farce of a business meeting. It's not as if he has any intention to make deals with someone who has been staring at true power for over an hour and still not recognized it. Noticing the obvious is a necessary skill when one swims with sharks. Eric, of course, being one of the sharks. Vincent is not worth his time. He turns to look at Josie, wrapping a strand of her bright blonde hair around his fingers. "What do you think, darling?" It's her cue to put the cards on the table, and she grins widely. She, too, is one of the sharks, has long since grown comfortable in that role. "Well," she begins, straightening, "first of all, I think that Vincent here is a bad researcher." The man in question grows wide-eyed at the sudden change in pace, and confused. "Why?" Eric demands, smirking calmly. "Because he researched you and me just enough to figure out who I pretend to be, but not who I am. Sloppy, Vinny. Very sloppy." She wags a finger at him mockingly. "Then, of course, there's the fact that he thinks you're weak for keeping your human toy around the way you do, tying directly into the wrong intel resulting from the first point. Again, Vinny. Sloppy. Instead of watching and drawing conclusions, you try to force preconceived notions on us. That's great if you want to join the KKK, but not so useful in real life." "Three?" Here her smile grows vicious. "I'm pretty sure we just passed a test. And you failed it." Her gaze goes to Marco, the silent bodyguard Vincent brought with him. The man has been standing in the background silently for the entire conversation, watching. It was a ploy, meant to test Eric. But it backfired because Josie picked the intent right out of their guests' heads the minute they walked in the door. Marco is the true power. Vincent, his sock puppet. And he just failed spectacularly. Vincent pales and jerks around to stare at his master, putting the last nail on his coffin. If Josie had been only bluffing, he would have just given everything away. Again, Eric wonders how the vampire survived as long as he has. And last but not least, his little sister adds, just because she can, "If you think about me naked one more time, I will claw your eyes out. Clear?" Vincent stutters, incoherently, fear plain on his face. Josie leans back and enjoys the show, feeling no guilt at taking pleasure from the misfortune of someone like him. Eric had feared once that keeping a human around would mean morals and ethics, but while Josie is a fierce defender of all innocence, she has surprisingly little sympathy for those that cause her or him harm. She was different once, he's sure of that. But living inside people's darkest thoughts tends to taint one's outlook on the world. The idiot looks to him for help, to rein in his human. He still doesn't get it, does he? He just smirks and watches as Marco steps forward, tapping Vincent on the shoulder and wordlessly sending him away. He goes, tail between his legs, and the true master takes the stage. I hadn't believed the rumors, he says, by way of introduction. A telepath. But it seems true, no? He has a hint on a hard accent. Russian, maybe? An old one. Powerful. But not nearly as powerful as Eric the Northman. Indeed, he confirms, never having seen reason to hide his prize from the world. May I make you an offer, miss? He turns to Josie after Eric's negligent wave of a hand, inviting him to go on. You can try, the former slayer tells him. Very well. A house, your own business, a general allowance. I will give you all that if you put yourself in my service. I also would not ask any physical favors of you. The last is said with a hooded look in Eric's direction, implication clear. The Viking frowns, displeased. True, the relationship between him and his sister is not that of true siblings, but rather more physical at times. But the implication Marco is making is cheap and degrading. He growls low in his throat. She is my sister. The stress on my rather than sister. Beside him, Josie still lies motionless, her head half on his shoulder. She has not reacted to the offer in any way, out loud or in their heads. Please, Northman, we all know this girl is not your sister. And yet, she is mine. You cannot have her. And neither your bold offer nor your subterfuge have endeared you to me. I suggest you leave. Behind the bar, at the doors, on the dance floor, the vampires belonging to Eric lay down their work and tense, preparing to fight as they feel their leader's anger rise to fill the room. Marco, knowing when to bow out gracefully, stands, but not without a last look at the telepath he obviously came for. She straightens finally, looking him dead in the eye, and Eric holds his breath, because he just called Josie his, and there is no telling how she will react. 2 years she has been with him, but he has never before claimed her so plainly. Independent, stubborn, and proud as she is, she might agree to go with the other vampire just because of that. But all she does is incline her head slightly and stare at Marco hard. He blanches, obviously hearing her inside his head, and leaves as fast as decorum will allow. She watches him go before turning to Eric, curious expression on her face.
Do you really think I'm gonna blow up over a possessive pronoun?
His lips twitch involuntarily. He doesn't even jump anymore when she enters his head, entirely used to having her there, almost an extension of his thoughts, a presence at the very back that never quite leaves, even during the day. A curious feeling for one that has kept himself solitary for 1,000 years, but strangely pleasant. She smiles.
Exactly.
He frowns at her statement and waits, knowing she knows his confusion as well as he does.
And you don't mind me being there?
So?
So, I don't know if you've noticed, but I freak people out. But you don't mind me in your head, and I don't mind. I just don't mind.
Ah. He nods, understanding what she can't quite put into words, even in their heads, where language is a lot more flexible than outside of them. He is there, and so is she. They live beside, above, below, and inside each other, and that needs no titles, no definitions. There. That's all they are for each other. All they need to be. They have their reasons.
Yeah,
she thinks, and lies back down where he can wrap his fingers in her hair and watch the goings-on in his club, king of all his surveys. The end.